from deep inside your radio.
From London, England, from a whole other part of London, England, because it has so very many. Yes. And you might wonder, ladies and gentlemen, how the Corps of Engineers is doing now. I know I wonder that all the time. You know, they're part of the Army. I know that here, where I've been for about the past week, it's been not hard, but not easy, you see what I'm saying, to get information about a little phenomenon that's going on in the heartland of the United States, the flooding of the Missouri River. I said Missouri. Yes, I did. For the people who correct me on Fukushima. And it's a big deal for the Dakotas and for the Nebraskas and for the Iowas and the Missouris. And among the issues on the table, so to speak, on the water table, thank you, is the fact that there are some nuclear plants in the area, of which there has been television footage of at least one surrounded by water. Don't worry. Excuse me, water and electricity, what could happen? But here is a tribute to our two-party system, ladies and gentlemen. The opinions of South Dakota's two senators, one a Democrat, one a Republican, on the performance of the Army Corps of Engineers thus far. Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota, has called for an accounting of decisions that led to the current flooding of the Missouri River, saying he wants an inquiry to determine whether the Corps of Engineers truly adhered to its primary mission as mandated by law, i.e., flood protection. In a separate conference call with reporters, Senator Tim Johnson, Democrat of South Dakota, praised the Corps and all who've responded to the flooding. We're going to need to reevaluate the Corps, its water management policies and procedures, including the master manual, says Thune, the Republican. You get the idea that the Democrats might be in office in the executive branch? The Corps' master manual, ladies and gentlemen, and yes, we'd all like to have one of those, it was written in 2004. Imagine how they bumbled about before then. It provides detailed operating plans and includes plans for an annual spring rise, designed to promote certain bird and fish species. No question they're dealing with unprecedented weather events, the types of rain and snowpack in the Rocky Mountains. So I think these are factors we'll have to take into consideration, Thune said. I mean, it's never rained and snowed like this in the Rockies before. Thune said that in his meetings with top Corps officials, he stresses the importance of being aware of and responding to the needs of people who must contend with the effects of the flooding. Johnson's take was completely different. I congratulate the people in the Corps of Engineers and all the rest of the people who've done such a great job. So there you go. I guess it depends on which party's in power and which party you're in. If we had three parties, who knows how the senators from South Dakota would split up. Ladies and gentlemen, we know one thing as a result of this past week, that since President Obama has announced that he will be doing personal tweeting on his @BarackObama Twitter account, we do know that somebody in the White House better be advising him no direct messages and no photographs. Hello, welcome to the show.
Personal reasons make his post was allowed. Perhaps he had to keep his distance. Made a racket when he rowed. Made a racket when he rowed. My old man. My old man. My old man was fairly handsome. He smoked too many cigs. Lived in one room in Victoria. He was tidy in his digs. Had to have an operation when his ulcer got too big. When his ulcer got too big. My old man. Talking, relations had begun. All the while we thought about each other. All the best, mate, from your son. All the best, mate, from your son. My old man. My old man.
From London, England, home of the empire whose dissolution has created all the trouble spots in the world today, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm, won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
The award-winning news of the warm, ladies and gentlemen. Findings from a natural laboratory in seas off Papua New Guinea suggest that acidifying oceans will severely hit coral reefs by the end of this century. So corals, watch out. Word to the wise corals. Carbon dioxide bubbles into the water from the slopes of a dormant volcano are among the sources of CO2. Writing in the journal Nature Climate Changes, the scientists say this lab mimics conditions that will be widespread if CO2 emissions continue to increase. On the other hand, Deadline Singapore, Australia's huge cattle herd in the north might be burping less planet-warming methane emissions than previously thought, suggesting the cows are more climate-friendly. That's nice to know about cows. They seem so friendly. Cattle, sheep, and other ruminant livestock produce large amounts of methane, called methane in England, which is about 20 times more powerful at trapping heat than carbon dioxide. One cow, ladies and gentlemen, this is a good bar conversation later in the day. One cow can produce about a ton and a half of greenhouse gas emissions a year. Hardly seems worth the milk, does it? Half of New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions come from agriculture. Most of that is from sheep and cattle. Most of the cattle and sheep emissions are, contrary to popular belief, from burping. I said burping. Now, I'll keep on this, and then I'll intercede later. Scientists at Australia's state-backed research body say the amount of methane from cattle fed on tropical grasses in northern Australia could be nearly a third less than previously thought. The findings were based on results from specially built, Don't you want to see this on YouTube? Specially built respiration chambers using Brahman cattle fed tropical grasses. And they challenge these findings, do old calculations used by the government to estimate emissions from cows. The industry is more methane friendly than was previously thought based on the new measurements. Of course, this raises the question whether the cattle in Australia's industry are fed grass. Because what I was going to intercede with in the middle of that is that I've read, maybe you have too, that cattle that eat grass breep and do the other stuff less, produce methane less, shall we say, than cattle fed grain. Speaking, by the way, of Australia's cattle country, story this week in one of the Australian newspapers, Qatar, and you're welcome, Qatar is buying up large swaths of Australian farmland because they can. And other stories this week cover the buying up of large swaths of African farmland by foreign companies. It's a thing. It's just a thing. But there is one other news of the warm item, ladies and gentlemen. Many energy companies are supplying their own curricular items. You know, films, lesson plans, cartoons to elementary schools around the country. And the Washington Post covered that this week. What caught my eye is this. The Coal Education, Development, and Resources Foundation, known as CEDER, because otherwise it would be known as CEDERF, offers a video to teachers called The Greening of Planet Earth. And in that video, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not kidding, I'm not making it up, it's right here on my computer, because my printer doesn't work. In that video, supplied by the Coal Education and Development and Resources Foundation, to teachers in elementary schools, it says this, quote, "Our world is deficient in carbon dioxide, and a doubling of atmospheric CO2 is very beneficial," unquote. So apparently, coal emissions do affect metal capacity. CEDER began offering grants to Wise County in southwestern Virginia in 2005, the year after, these are just nutty coincidences now, the year after a boulder rolled off a local mining site, crushing and killing a 3-year-old boy in his family's double-wide trailer. The incident helped galvanize local opposition to the coal industry just before the county began debating a new 1,200-acre coal mine, currently awaiting approval from the EPA. Just a nutty time to start your own Educational Development and Resources Foundation that supplies films to schools, you see, ladies and gentlemen. News of the Warm, a copyrighted feature, award-winning copyrighted feature of this broadcast. How did that ever happen? The new F-bomb, news of foreclosure. And just ask yourself as you hear this, could you get this? You, right there. U.S. bank regulators said this week they will give 14 financial institutions another month to submit plans to fix problems with their home foreclosure practices. The Office of the Comptroller, he's not a controller, he's a comptroller of the currency, Federal Reserve and Office of Thrift Supervision, decided to extend the deadline for the banks to develop plans to fix defects in their foreclosure processing operations, the agency said. Just remember the last time a bank extended a deadline for you, won't you? The regulators in April gave the institutions until mid-June to come up with plans to clean up their mortgage servicing processes to prevent documentation errors, it says here. If you've been listening to the interviews with Eve Smith and Bill Black, your eyebrows may be rising at the use of the word error, but there you are. The regulators agreed to the delay at the request of the Justice Department. Yes, your eyebrows could rise a little higher at that point. Under the orders, the banks are required to hire an independent consultant to conduct a look back at all foreclosure proceedings from 2009 to 10, evaluate whether they improperly foreclose on any homeowners, and require each company to establish its own process to consider whether to compensate borrowers who have been harmed. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, somebody is actually going to be looking back. Isn't it wacky? I know it sounds so out of kilter with the way we do these days. But there you are. The new F-bomb. It is so utterly copyrighted. And now, in just the merest moment, something else will happen. And it's called this.
He's not a general.
He commands no troops.
He's not an inspector.
He peeks at no stoops.
He's an inspector general.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
News of inspectors general, ladies and gentlemen. For your listening pleasure. Problems at the Securities and Exchange Commission, it seems to be. The Securities and Exchange Commission employee invested in a company accused of preying on deaf people and misled fellow investors into thinking their money was safe despite it being under investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission. That's according to the SEC Inspector General David Kotz, who recommended disciplinary action, including possible dismissal of the employee. Asked whether the employee had been disciplined, a spokesman for the agency said appropriate action was taken. Now get out of here. And a new report from same guy, David Kotz, details how three employees and a contractor were caught checking out porn at work at the Securities and Exchange Commission, which may give you some idea of why they're less than avid to regulate securities. I mean, you know, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm just asking. I'm not pointing any fingers. This is not time to look back, ladies and gentlemen. Just, you know. Just asking. Kotz launches investigations after the SEC's own security system flags employees for repeated attempts to access porn websites. He recently conducted probes into four workers. He looked into a staff accountant. And that can be obscure. I think they mean he looked into the behavior of a staff accountant, unless he's got an X-ray machine in his office. The accountant used his work computer to access porn sites hundreds of times. The employee successfully managed to get to numerous sexually explicit photographs from his SEC computer, Kotz found, and much of the porn activity occurred during so-called working hours, which I guess redefines that phrase just a little bit. But, you know, everybody has their own idea of work and play. The employee initially did not deny that he'd used his work computer to access the material, but later declined to testify as part of the Inspector General's investigation. The probe culminated in Kotz recommending disciplinary action against the employee, including removal of his job. Management has proposed the employee be removed, but the staff accountant wasn't the only one at the SEC looking for porn on the clock. Two other SEC employees and one contractor for the agency were also subjects of such investigations, and it's not the first time Kotz has uncovered a slew of SEC employees spending their work hours looking at porn. It must be too boring for them, don't you think? News of the Inspectors General, ladies and gentlemen. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now, news of the Olympic Movement. And they're on the case this week, ladies and gentlemen. I think you're going to be proud of your Olympic movement. The organizers of the London 2012 Games are hinting at legal action against an events company after objecting to their use of next year's date, 2012, in the name of a forthcoming series of events celebrating British culture. The London Organizing Committee of the Olympic Games, LOCOG, is objecting against plans to trademark the name of the forthcoming Great Exhibition 2012, a series of nationwide initiatives culminating with a two-week festival planned for next August. LOCOG has given the exhibition organizers until next Sunday to withdraw their application or potentially face legal proceedings. They particularly object to the use of 2012 in the event's name, as they consider that date is now widely used to refer to the Olympics. I just feel generally upset, as all I'm asking for is the right for people to celebrate, said the chief executive of the exhibition company, Julie Benson. At the moment, the country next year is a jigsaw, and the only bit that is colored in is in London. I just want to go about my business, and the law seems so draconian. LOCOG is citing the London Olympic Games and Paralympic Games Act 2005, which prevents people from creating an unauthorized association between a person or organization and the London 2012 Games. LOCOG claims a representative of the exhibition company had admitted to them that the inclusion of the date 2012 in the name of their event had made their proposed trademark more valuable. The exhibition company denies this. Does give you a clue when it's happening, though, doesn't it? It's certainly true that LOCOG have been given very strong rights for this specific event and have made very clear they intend to exercise their powers to their full limit, says Lorna Brazell, a copyright lawyer at the firm Bird & Bird. This kind of debate is going to get more intense as the Olympics approach. In this case, it is the broadest reach of their powers I have seen so far. And as more than a million Brits found out that they, even though they applied for Olympic tickets, they will be getting none, hundreds of London 2012 tickets are to be handed to countries with appalling human rights records. Colonel Gaddafi's son, Mohammed, will get a huge number of passes to distribute. Zimbabwe has also been granted tickets despite international condemnation of leader Robert Mugabe's brutal regime. And they can use the number 2012, too. Don't steal the year. It belongs to the Olympics. It's a movement. And everybody needs one. Every day. Copyright 2012.
I was thinking about ways not to lose. Lay down my weapons is what I've done. Too late to hide, feet too soft to run. But people say I'm the luckiest man. And yeah, they say running is useless, fighting is foolish. You're not gonna win, but still you're the luckiest man. You're up against too many horses and mysterious forces. What you don't know is you are the luckiest man. You're the luckiest man. I don't talk to the devil when he calls my name. But sometimes when I'm losing, it all seems the same. And when I fall, I'm back up again. Just to slip on the same mistakes and slide right back in.
But people say I'm the luckiest man. Yeah, they say running is useless, fighting is foolish. You're not gonna win, but still you're the luckiest man. You're up against too many horses and mysterious forces. What you don't know is you are the luckiest man. You're the luckiest man. Try to keep my faith and keep my mind. I hate to lose either one when the whip cracks behind. And I can't help but mourning just a little each night. People say everything's gonna be alright. They say I'm the luckiest man. Yeah, they say running is useless, fighting is foolish. You're not gonna win, but still you're the luckiest man. You're up against too many horses and mysterious forces. What you don't know is you are the luckiest man. You're the luckiest man. You're the luckiest man.
Live from London, this is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Addy.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet. Save, cheap, too cheap to meet. Cheap, save, too safe to meet.
News of our friend the Atom. Hey, Addy.
How you doing?
I'm good. You seem chipper this week.
Oh, what the hell?
I don't know if you can say that. I don't know if an Atom can say that on the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, officials at Japan's Fukushima nuclear plant suspended an operation to clean contaminated water hours after it began because of a rapid rise in radiation. Nutty, isn't it? TEPCO, which operates the plant, is investigating the cause and could not say when the cleanup would resume. Fresh water, as you know, is being pumped into cool damaged reactor cores. Damaged. Melted down and through and is becoming contaminated in the process. Around 105,000 tons of highly radioactive water have pooled across the plant. Nobody into the pool. And could overflow within a couple of weeks if action is not taken. Well, let's take action. In earlier tests, the water treatment system reduced cesium levels in the water to about 1/10,000th of their original levels. The system began full operations after a series of problems involving leaks and valve flaws. It's simple stuff, isn't it? That is derailing this sophisticated technology. The system was suspended when workers detected a sharp radiation increase in the system's cesium-absorbing component. Radioactivity, which was expected to last for a few weeks, had already reached the limit within 5 hours. The water treatment system... Now, ladies and gentlemen, just to give you a sense of how endless this is going to be. All right, so they pump in water. They tried seawater. Of course, that just corroded stuff because it's got salt in it. So now they're pumping in fresh water, which, of course, as it goes over these things, which are radioactive, and I'm using the technical term things, the water becomes radioactive. And, yes, the water treatment system is to be eventually connected to a cooling system so treated water can be reused. So they'll be treating the water to get rid of radioactivity, and then they'll reuse it to cool it. But treating the water will create an additional headache. Tons of highly radioactive sludge filtered out of the water will require a separate long-term storage space. You got anything around? Yucca Valley? Anybody? There are those who say that Fukushima is worse than we've been told. Fukushima is the biggest industrial catastrophe in the history of mankind, says Arne Gundersen, a former nuclear industry senior vice president, speaking to Al Jazeera English. Gundersen, a licensed reactor operator with 39 years of nuclear power engineering experience, managing and coordinating projects at 70 nuclear power plants around the United States, says the plant, the Fuk plant, has likely exposed more reactor cores than commonly believed. You probably have the equivalent of 20 nuclear reactor cores because of the fuel cores, and they're all in desperate need of being cooled, and there is no means to cool them effectively, he says. Independent scientists have been monitoring the locations of radioactive hotspots around Japan. Their findings are disconcerting. We are finding spots farther away than we had from Chernobyl, says Gundersen, and the amount of radiation in many of them was the amount that caused areas to be declared no man's land for Chernobyl. TEPCO announced the accident, this is according to Al Jazeera English, the accident probably released more radioactive material into the environment than Chernobyl. Meanwhile, a nuclear waste advisor to the Japanese government says an area roughly 17 times the size of Manhattan is now likely uninhabitable, much like Manhattan. Oh, sorry. In the U.S., physician Jeanette Sherman and epidemiologist Joseph Mangano published an essay shedding light on a 35% spike in infant mortality in cities in the Northwest U.S. that occurred after the meltdown in Japan. The cities are San Jose, Berkeley, San Francisco, Sacramento, Santa Cruz, Portland, Seattle, and Boise. And the time frame of the report included the 10 weeks immediately following the disaster. Dr. Shoji Sawada is a theoretical particle physicist in Japan. He's concerned about the types of nuclear plants in his country and the fact that most of them are U.S. design. Most of the reactors in Japan were designed by U.S. companies who did not care for the effects of earthquakes, he said. But there's so much more, Addy. Don't let your feet go wandering just yet. The permanent closure of the Crystal River nuclear power plant in Florida is one of the options being considered by owner Progress Energy. Doesn't that sound nice? Progress Energy. As the cost of upgrading and repairing the reactor there continues to rise. It's supposed to be cheap. The utility has been engaged in upgrading the 34-year-old plant, but has run into some unforeseen hurdles. In September 2009, the plant was safely shut down for routine maintenance and refueling outage, which also included the installation of two new steam generators and a new turbine generator. And an independent spent fuel storage installation is also in development there. But when the reinforced concrete containment structure was cut open to replace the two steam generators, delamination, ladies and gentlemen, of the thick concrete was discovered. This led to a major and prolonged repair task costing $150 million plus $290 million for replacement power. Progress Energy said its insurance company has already paid a portion of these costs. I wonder who's paid the rest. In March of this year, as the steel tendons within the plant's containment building were being retensioned, further delamination, do you like the words? You're paying for them, of the concrete containment structure was discovered. The network provides structural integrity to the concrete and steel containment building. The plant had been due to restart in April of this year. Progress Energy says it now cannot estimate when it will return to service, and they may choose to shut her down. Federal regulators say Southeast Nebraska's Cooper Nuclear Station will receive more oversight, not because of the floods. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission says it's requiring additional oversight because of problems with procedures to shut down the plant in the event of some fires. The statement focuses on procedures to manually operate valves that are a part of a coolant injection system that provides water to cool the reactor during certain accidents involving the loss of coolant. The NRC says the violation is a low to moderate safety significance based on an inspection in March. Speaking of Yucca Mountain, sorry, and the now apparently canceled plans to use that as a highly radioactive waste storage facility for the indefinite future, for the millions of years. The United States has spent $14.5 billion, and that includes $9.5 from industry fees, on that permanent waste repository that, at least up to now, hasn't been built and probably won't. So there's $14.5 billion. Literally just shoved in a mountain, I guess because a toilet wasn't available. Nuclear safety rules in the United States do not adequately weigh the risk of a single event that would knock out electricity from the grid and from emergency generators at the same time. That's according to officials of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Commission officials said they had also been told that some of the safety equipment installed in American nuclear plants was not maintained or inspected as diligently as the original components were. And that would include hardware added after 9/11, you see. Charlie Miller, the chairman of the task force, said that studies by safety experts in the United States had analyzed the risk of losing electricity from the grid or from emergency generators, but not both. They conducted separate studies on those two scenarios. Steve Kraft, an executive of the Nuclear Energy Institute, which is an industry organization, says in the past it was not considered credible that a single event could knock out both supplies. In view of recent events in Japan, he said, it was time to prepare for the possibility. One of the commissioners, George Apostolakis, pointed out that existing safety analyses also assumed that electricity would be restored within 4 or 8 hours after a power cutoff, but that blackouts on the grid often last far longer. Why, he asked, do we still assume things that are now, in retrospect, unrealistic? In a forceful critique of the NRC's approach toward fire safety, the chairman declared that the policy of not enforcing most fire code violations at dozens of nuclear plants is unacceptable and has tied the hands of NRC inspectors. This fire thing, this electricity thing. The Regulatory Commission has approved licenses that will allow up to 1,000 tons of Germany's low-level radioactive waste to be brought to Oak Ridge, Tennessee, for incineration. So if you're wanting to move near a nuclear waste site, there you go. Call your travel agent. Japan's Prime Minister Naoto Kan has never taken a dime from Tokyo Electric Power Company, says the Japanese newspaper Asahi Shimbun. Kan's complete independence from TEPCO may be the real reason so many lawmakers are trying to push him out the door. His calls to shift Japan away from nuclear energy and to break TEPCO into separate companies threaten some very powerful special interests in Japan. And some good news, ladies and gentlemen. The Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission has developed a safety culture policy intended to promote an overriding commitment to safety at the nation's nuclear facilities. The statement, issued late Tuesday of this week, features 9 traits or behaviors meant to foster a positive environment for the safety and security of activities at nuclear power plants. Years in the making, the guidance is not required as a regulation, but intended to put a safety-first focus on operations, according to the NRC.
Yeah, it's about time.
It sure is, Eddie. Glad you acknowledged that. Clean, sief, chafe, to peep, to maben. Our friend, the atom.
And moonlight, it's so easy when you're in love. When you have someone to cling to, when your heart is not your own, it's so hard when you are lonely. are your one and only. When there's no one else to share. And moonlight, like a movie made for lovers, so oblivious to others. When there's stardust in the air and moonlight like the moment when found you, and all around astounds you. Keeps me wishing you were here. Wishing you were here. Wishing you were here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just crossing the line between News of the Atom and News of AFPAC, recent extremist strikes on several armed forces sites in Pakistan indicate that nation might not be capable of protecting its nuclear weapons and related assets from a direct attack. That's what a British analyst writes in a journal article published this month. Quote, a frontal assault on nuclear weapons storage facilities, which are the most robustly defended elements of Pakistan's nuclear weapons cycle, is no longer an implausible event. That's Sean Gregory, director of the Pakistan Security Research Unit at the University of Bradford. Quote, as the number of nuclear weapons facilities grows and the number of those with access to nuclear weapons or related components rises, the complex challenge of assuring the security of nuclear weapons and nuclear weapons components will become ever more difficult. But that's just Pakistan. President Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan launched a broadside against his coalition allies this week, saying the motives behind their presence were suspect and even complaining their weaponry is polluting his country. In another statement this week, Karzai said the U.S. and other foreign powers are engaged in preliminary talks with the Taliban, you know that, about a possible settlement of the war. It's the first official confirmation of U.S. involvement in such negotiation. And the killings of American soldiers by Afghan troops are turning into a rapidly growing systemic threat that could undermine the entire war effort, according to a classified military study by Jeffrey Borden, a political and behavioral scientist working for the Army. He warns that the magnitude of the killings may be unprecedented between allies in modern history. I know all of these matters will generate some talk. Starting now.
From Afghanistan Public Radio, where our new digital initiative is to use all our fingers.
From the newly reinforced presidential palace in downtown Kabul, the city that never wakes up, I'm Wally.
And I'm Hamid. We're Snark and Snipe, the Backbite Brothers. Welcome to another edition of Karzai Talk. Today's show comes to you with the assistance from our good friends in Pakistan. just around the corner, just off the charts.
Just completely around the bend.
That's right. Pakistan is such a wacky country, my brother. Hmm? You know, the president there is a big tennis player.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, yes, he plays doubles. Hmm? He plays for both teams simultaneously.
Well, I knew they played a double game, but...
You never knew exactly what it meant.
True enough. He must be a fast runner.
Or his partners must be very slow servers. So, my dear younger brother, yes. It's good weather now here at Karzai Talk Central. Mm. That must be good for your poppy business.
All shipments are getting through. Mm. Looks like good crop this year. Mm. World price holding steady.
Wait, what is this, the farm report?
But the good weather is bad for your business, dear brother.
Yes, well, they call it fighting season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're referring to hockey riots.
I know. I always dreamed of relocating to Vancouver. Now I'm beginning to think I'm safer in Kandahar.
Hello, you're on Karzai Talk.
Hey, Mo, what do you know?
Well, actually, I wanted to ask Hamid what he knows. I'm out here fighting against the foreign invaders every day, and from what I just heard on Radio Free Slavery, the Americans are talking to my commanders. Frankly, I have to say that's more confusing than most of your jokes.
Well, Mohammed, first of all, thanks for your years of service to the enemy of this country.
Uh-oh, look out, he's getting sincere.
Seriously, the Americans have been talking to Taliban officials. My sources have been telling me that since back before I had sources. But I think the thing to remember that might help with the confusion is this. Secretary Gates said on behalf of the Americans that they have to keep fighting to make sure they get the best deal from the Taliban. So I would imagine that would hold just as true for your side, Mohammed, wouldn't it?
Wait, but that doesn't mean he has to go out and get himself killed just so General Hussis gets a cabinet seat in the next government, does it?
I guess that depends on how much he likes General Hussis.
I hear he's very good.
And what is that?
That she quits school at 8 and gets married at 12.
Mohammed, no matter how things turn out, I'd tell your sister 3 words. Forget about Harvard.
Hello, you're on Karzai Talk.
Hello, sir. I'm Corporal Harrison Hergesheimer, calling from Camp Wrangell. First-time caller, long-time surveiller of you both.
Hello, Corporal. Thanks for your years of service in surveilling us.
Thank you, sir. My question is that a few of my buddies have been killed by someone who at least was wearing the uniform of the Afghan Army. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering why your allies and supporters and underwriters and so forth are more and more being treated worse than a used Plymouth Duster, sir.
Well, Corporal, first of all, I haven't been called sir this much by anyone since the maitre d' at the Palm.
He was the guy in Washington who kicked you out of the dining room. Mm,
for not following the dress code.
What, he didn't like the green gown?
Anyway, Corporal,
yes, sir.
As you know, a relationship like this one has to be built on trust.
Yes, sir.
I've warned for years that civilian deaths lead to a lack of trust, so now nobody can really be surprised, least of all me.
No, oh, last time you were surprised was when they let you back into the palm.
So what you're telling me, sir, is that I should just keep my head down and keep listening to surveillance tapes?
I think he's telling you to put in for the noise-canceling headphones.
Thanks for the call.
You know, dear brother, I'm thinking if we are killing our allies and negotiating with our enemies...
I know what you're going to say.
Oh?
We might as well be Pakistan. And that's all the time we have for today.
We had help from the U.S. State Department sending untraceable checks since 2003. Money.state.gov.
Legal services for Karzai Talk by the law firm of Ketchum & Newcomb. I'm Hamid.
And I'm Wally. Join us again for another edition of Karzai Talk.
This is APR, Afghanistan Public Radio.
sorry.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week. Bank of America sent out warning letters to 5,000 Oregonians, mistakenly claiming property taxes were overdue and that the homeowners might be risking foreclosure. Bank of America has now apologized to customers who received the letters, which would have come from part of the bank's home loan division. Residents in four Oregon counties were affected. Bank of Apologunity. Chicago Bears safety Major Wright issued an apology after his likeness was used on a promotion that included the world's largest gathering of porn stars. Well, you want to find the accountants, that's where they'll be. Even if the general manager of the Miami Beach, Florida nightclub advertising the event claims it was all a misunderstanding. I authorized my name and likeness to be used in conjunction with other NFL players at a party I believe to be hosted by other NFL players, Wright said in a statement released by his agent. I had no knowledge and would never have given authority for my name or likeness to be associated with EXXX Attica Expo 2011. Wow, lucky it wasn't 2012. You know why? Wright never gave the club permission to use his likeness while wearing an NFL uniform. I guess that was a major wrong. Thank you so much. British Airways has apologized for refusing to issue a plane ticket to a girl who has Down syndrome. Alice Saunders had planned to fly from London's Gatwick Airport to Glasgow, Scotland, to visit her aunt. Her mother called the airline to book a ticket and told the agent her daughter had Down syndrome but is very independent. She wanted her to travel as an unaccompanied minor. Saunders was told by the customer service agent that, quote, we don't take children with Down syndrome. When Saunders asked why, the agent responded, quote, because we've had problems in the past. This is 2011, says the mother. Lucky she didn't say it next year. She gets sued by the Olympics. Filipino-American actor and comedian Joe Coy apologized to his fans, the gay community, and others who may have been offended after making a gay slur at an audience member earlier this week. Hey, it's going around. Coy, performing at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Chicago, allegedly used the F word followed by the gay slur when he accused an audience member of looking at his crotch during the performance. I sincerely apologize for the incredibly foul word I chose to use on stage last night in Chicago, tweeted Coy. Coy becomes the latest comedian, of course, coming under fire for using gay jokes in their stand-up routine. His apology comes on the heels of Tracy Morgan's apology to the gay community for making gay jokes during his comedy performance. Gay jokes. He said he'd kill his son if he were gay. That joke. You know that joke? The European Parliament apologized to Albania on Thursday for displaying its old flag during a meeting of Albanian members of parliament with their European colleagues a day earlier. I know elsewhere in the world that wouldn't mean anything, but in the Balkans, they take their flags almost as seriously as we do. A Fox Business host is apologizing for what critics insist are racist insults that he hurled at President Obama. Conservative host Eric Bolling blasted the commander-in-chief's recent visit with Ali Bongo Odimba, the controversial president of Gabon, who has been accused of human rights violations and corruption. Guess who's coming to dinner? A dictator, said Bolling, saying of the president, quote, it's not the first time he's had a hoodlum in his house. What's with all the hoods in the hizzy? He asked. His comments quickly drew fire. Kevin McGee, executive vice president of Fox Business, said, I spoke with Eric and his producer yesterday. We all agree the line was crossed. Thus the apology. We now consider the matter closed. We got a little fast and loose with the language, said Bolling, and we know it's been interpreted as being disrespectful. And for that, I'm sorry. So he's sorry for the interpretation. And of course, we know that Representative Wiener apologized, blah, blah, blah. The Dallas Mavericks win of the Miami Heat is a huge upset for fans in Miami, making matters worse. An ad in the Miami Herald mistakenly congratulated the Heat on winning. A full-page ad that ran Monday's paper said, congratulations, Miami, next to photos of Heat championship T-shirts and hats from Macy's. The ad shows the Heat's logo on a hat with the words NBA champions. The ad ran under a story about the Heat's loss. The newspaper has issued a correction and apologized for any inconvenience. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Hey, any of you have $18 billion on you? We got to find it. Iraq's parliament speaker tells Al Jazeera English that the amount of Iraqi money unaccounted for by the U.S. is $18.7 billion, three times more than the previously reported $6.5 billion. Just before departing for a visit to the U.S., Parliament Speaker Osama Al-Najjal said he's received a report this week based on information from U.S. and Iraqi auditors that the amount of money withdrawn from the fund from Iraqi oil proceeds but unaccounted for is $18 billion. So we taught him well. That's how a democracy works. Ladies and gentlemen, no finger pointing, please. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world via the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want at harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. Available for your smartphone through stitcher.com. Available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it'd be just like figuring out what to do with that sludge if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. A typical show chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Hawaii desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead, and thanks to Paul Gummer here in London for help with today's broadcast. The email address for this program and the playlist of the music heard here on always available, even more available than ever, at harryshearer.com. Your host is on Twitter. Join the 37,000 followers at The Harry Shearer. The Big Uneasy is this weekend, well, I think tomorrow in Minneapolis. Coming up in Detroit, all over the place. To find out where and when, TheBigUneasy.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. So long from London.